Peace be with all of you on the Lord's Day. Today is the final message concerning our 2022 theme message. So it's talking about restoring and holding fast to the sound doctrine. And as a result of that, God tells us that God's Word wants us to live before His presence. And we know that what is it like to live before the face of God? And that's what we shared last week. So we must know that we live before the face of God. That is the personal relationship between us and God. But have you ever asked that when we are weak, who helps us? Who encourages us? So when we say that in the church, we have to do good, we serve the Lord. So we serve who? Who is the target of us doing good? So we know that when we say that we live before the face of God, there must be a real community to affirm our faith. So when we say we live before the face of God, importantly, this also includes that we live before a group of people who can strengthen us, watch over us, and protect our faith. And that is the Church of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, every time we hear that in our faith, the most important is our relationship with God. Of course, that is the foremost. But many people forget that when the Bible talks about our relationship with God, the Bible at the same time also emphasizes our relationship with God as a group. So we have this personal and corporate relationship with God. So if we only talk about personal, your relationship with God at home, how you want to live before God yourself, but the Bible also clearly tells us that there is a community. So our corporate relationship with God is equally important. So Apostle Paul, when he prayed for the Ephesian church, he said, I pray that by your faith, I pray that Christ live in your heart so that your faith is rooted. So this is our personal faith with God. But his next verse tells us, not just your love is rooted, because if it's your faith, your love, it is still personally to you. But I pray that you can, together with all believers, can understand how high, deep, wide and long is the love of Christ. So together with the saints, you can understand. So you yourself love God and believe in God. Is that enough? This must surely lead you to you knowing God better when you are together with the community of believers. So no one believer can say that he can stand firm alone. So Hebrews chapter 3 tells us that we must seize the day of today. We must encourage each other so that we will not be tempted and our hearts will not be hardened. So when Christians live before God, He will place Himself in a community which can encourage Him and protect Him. I want to share with you my testimony. So those brethren who grew up with me, roughly they knew. So what I'm most thankful in my life is since young, I grew up in the church. But I'm not born in a Christian family. But by the grace of God, my mother allowed me to go to church. So me and my brothers, three of us, we went to church since young. Because my mother have this impression that those people who go to church will not learn the wrong way. So I grew up in the Sunday school. So the entire Christian culture infiltrate my heart. So sometimes we know about Christianity and Christian rituals, but when you live in that Christian culture, when you are in it yourself, it is indeed different. So many things you will start to understand, you start to sense it, what is meant by loving each other, caring for each other, forgiving each other, and supporting each other. So the pastor kept mentioning all these things every week. And so in the church living, we continue to live like this. So some people who only went to church in the middle age, they don't seem to understand all this. So when you talk about loving one another, they just high-bye to each other. So those of us who grew up in church, we knew about caring and loving for each other. So you know each other's matter. You know each other's families. So when this family has problem, you will call the person immediately. So this kind of culture can only be found when you grew up in church, then you can understand. So in the church, there's many sayings. For example, what is the authority of the Bible? So these are not things unfamiliar to us. Why is it that when the church, when we read the Bible, we have to stand to read the word? Because there is this authority of the Bible. So when we grew up in that culture, we clearly knew what is meant by the worship service must be solemn, what is holy music, what is the Christian obligation and duty, what is church discipline. So all these things, for those of us who grew up in church, we are familiar with this. So it has become our second nature. For example, when we come to worship service, the moment when pastor came to the front, automatically, because of God's radiance and presence, we bow our head, we come before the presence of God. So when you grew up in the church, when you live before the radiance of God, you know that's how you will live. So in the past, our church is only 2/3 of this premise. It's very narrow. So we are very close to each other. Not like now, we have 1 meter gap. So young people, they always like to sit at the corner of the aisles, and then so people cannot enter. So on the stage, the pastor will always announce, the young people do not sit at the end of the row, but move in. So we are unlike right now. Where do you want to sit? So there's no choosing of seats. So when you enter into this holy church, God's presence, we must quickly sit down. Sometimes when husband and wife come and there's no seat, the husband and wife have to separately sit. So everyone's concern is on God. So when we grew up in church, that's how we live. In the past, when I'm to do a PowerPoint slides, a projector. So during the worship service, choir is to present the hymn. So I took a photo, but after the choir, the pastor came up to rebuke. So the worship must be very solemn. You cannot anyhow take photo. So everybody look at me. So I'm thinking, I saw other people taking photo, so why can't I take photo? So someone told me that only appointed persons can take photo. It's not that you want to take photo, then you take photo. So I started to understand the whole solemnity of the church. So a lot of rituals is not just external, but you must have the spirit of it. So when you're in the culture itself, when you hear the Christian term, you understand what that means. For example, when we say offering. So nowadays, people just say that God loves the cheerful giver. So if you do not live in the church culture, so you don't know, you just think that you just offer according to your own pleasure. You must know that when you grew up in your church, I don't know whether your church teaches you what is offering. Look at the widow. She offered her everything. When you say you have to give cheerfully, you do not forget that you have to offer your everything. So as you keep offering, you need to offer till your heart pain. You have the pain in the heart, and yet you are cheerful. That is real offering. So many a times, so only when for those people who only came to church in the middle age, and they don't have the church culture, so they just copy each other. Oh, you like to come to church whichever week you are pleased with, and you don't take leave and so on. You just live as you please. So that's the problem of this generation. So what I'm trying to say is, the church is not just about being stern, but I want to talk about the protection that the church brings the believers. When I grew up in church, I've also been through the young age. And during the teenage stage, yes, we are more rebellious, we have our own thinking, each of us has been through this, and the church must understand this stage. But I know that in the teenage years, I also have the youthful preferences, and I would like to go to places where the young people like to go. My children grew up in the church, so sometimes they don't understand. So sometimes I told them, you know, father also loved pop music. I've been to discotheque. And so my children are so shocked. They thought that me and my wife didn't do all these things. So my children, in their youth fellowship, the teacher asked them, so what's your understanding of holiness? My youngest son just just answered, my father. So he doesn't understand, because he grew up in the church. Actually, we are all sinners. So we have been through, you know, speaking vulgar language in school, and then we speak holy words in the church. So we have been through this process. Of course, I told my children, if you can do all these things, that is best. The bad things, that's bad. If you don't do the bad things, that's good. But in the process of growing up, if you have curiosity, and if you're more carefree and easygoing, you've been through that period of youth. But most importantly, you must know what protects you even in this stage is when you lead a church-centered life. Your relationship with brethren will guard you and will guard your faith. In this process, maybe you are a two-faced person, and one day you become uncomfortable because your conscience has always been rebuilt, and one day you are awakened and you realize, and you have also grown mature. So this process also requires the accompaniment of church brethren, such that even though sometimes we love the world, we will not become a lost sheep of God. Of course, in this process, I also grew up like this, and I also matured, and my faith also strengthened. Then I start to understand the value of meeting, the value of serving God, and the value of offering to God. And I understood that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So when I do this, I realize that some of my most important blessings comes through church living. First of all, I met my wife in the church. So I knew my wife at the age of 15 years old. So 20 years old, I started to date her. And 26 years old, we got married. It's all in the church. And in the church, I also raised my 3 children. So these 3 children, under the blessing of the church, my children grew up since their full month all the way till now. They never left the church. So to me, maybe I'm not like many other parents. During weekend, I can bring my children to this kind of many recreational places. But me and my family, especially the times of my children growing up, many of their recreational times are spent in the church. Their weekends are spent here. They knew this auntie and that uncle, and in the midst of this, of course, in the process, they also saw some people leaving the church, and some people also gradually became their good friends. And this all happened in the church living. So to me, as a pastor, sometimes I feel I'm very busy. I cannot accompany them in everything. But I feel the greatest blessing I gave my children is to let them grow up in church and let them center on the church in their living. So I kept telling them, even if you grow up, no matter where you go to, even if you go overseas to study, to work, you must first find the Lord's church and center your life on that church, on that community of believers. You are watched over and protected by them. You need to be accountable to the church. So all along, I've been teaching my children this. Of course, in the process, if you have been long enough in church living, you know that sometimes as you live together and you serve together, there's bound to be conflicts. And all these conflicts made us adapt to each other and slowly understand each other's personality and bottom line, and we know how to help each other. And then slowly we become the comrades for life. So in the church, the church is not the brethren whom I am blessing, but through them, God also used the brethren to bless me. So brothers and sisters, this is my very brief church journey. But why do I always talk about church-centered living? I don't know today whether there is such a very careful church living, and the culture, is it still intact? It seems to be losing. So the very careful kind of church culture is being replaced by very liberal and free church culture. A lot of mega church, a lot of evangelical and charismatic churches. I'm not saying that every one of them is like that. But when you go over there, you realize that the church nowadays give people a lot of space. Whatever you want to do, you can do. They just want you to attend, and they want the numbers and your offering. Other than that, they are not responsible for your life. They didn't demand from you. When you go to church, they didn't talk about doctrines, duties, and discipline, but they only talk about things that are practical. Because when they talk about church discipline and stern things, slowly people will leave. So they just be open. They let everyone be free. Because they say that the truth gives us freedom in Christ. So with that kind of culture, you have to ask, is this the culture that the Bible talks about? So you look at many people nowadays, I don't know whether they are believers or they are just religious people, they do not feel that they need to be part of one local church. Today they go to one church, tomorrow they go to another church. You are forever a new comer. So when you're a newcomer, nobody demands from you, and everyone is very kind to you. You just hide in one corner. I don't care about people. I also don't want people to care about me. I secretly go and I quietly leave. And then some Christians, they just attend different Christian conferences and seminars here and there. So they knew a lot of knowledge as if they're very spiritual. But you look at their life, they are not being restrained. No one is overseeing their life. They are responsible for their own life. So how can a sinner be responsible for their own life? So some people, without the concept of having a church, this is especially prevalent in this liberal society, with the new generation of people, new generation of pastor. This is the kind of church culture that they bring. So they just want to add one more number and offering to the church. Other than that, they do not demand from believers. So how can this be How can this be Christianity? This is a new form of Christianity. This is not the original early Christianity that was passed down by the church fathers. This is absolutely not the original Christianity. So right now, during the COVID pandemic, believers like this is a very happy thing, because now they can outrightly not go to church. They just Zoom. They just stay at home to Zoom. Sunday, you don't even talk about Zoom worship service. They just go out to have fun with the family. So yesterday we shared the message on the Lord's Day. So if you can, you can go and listen to it again. Some people, they just only want to give God 1.5 hours. You ask them to give a bit more hours, they start to complain. So they just give God their obligation of 1.5 hours of worship time on the Lord's Day, and the rest of the day, they just see it as their own time. This is not the kind of Lord's Day that the Lord demands. We have actually forgotten what God has imparted to the saints, to the apostles, and throughout church history. God used what kind of people to love Him and to live a life centered on Him, and God greatly used those people for His glory. Now today, if we didn't see the crisis of the church and remind the next generation, then such church culture, such bad church culture will infiltrate generations, and in generations to come, church will become weaker. So why is it that I kept encouraging you and warning you during the pandemic? Now, with the Omicron variant, we have thousands of cases every week. And in these 2 weeks, in these 2 years, we saw how much more severe is the problem of the soul than the body. So even if we got infected, we will be well in 3 or 4 days. But if you let loose your spirit and your soul, you will just be unable to face God and be unable to face brethren, because there's no one you miss in the church. So in my heart, I only have 1 hour to preach, so I need to say honest things. So let's look at the Word of God. So what is the Bible message to believers concerning church commitment? So Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer for the church, verse 16, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So the first prayer for Ephesian church is that the Spirit of revelation will make you know Him better. So you need to know Him, understand Him. You need to center on knowing God. And next, I also pray that by God's Spirit, from the knowledge of Him, that your heart can be strengthened. So Christian's heart must be strengthened. No matter how weak you are, you come before God and you receive God's help, and when God turns His face to you, you'll be strengthened. That is being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the power from the Holy Spirit to strengthen your inner being. No matter what problem you have with your marriage or your children, your heart can be strengthened so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. So being rooted means that you come to church not based on your feelings. Whether you love God or love others, your love is rooted because it's established in the unchanging truth. It's not established in the good vibes that people give you. So if people didn't give you the good vibes, then you leave the church. That means that your love is baseless. Because even if you leave this church, you meet sinners in this church, you will also meet sinners in another church. So you need to have a rooted love. And your face is toward God, and live before the presence of God. And you gather with this group of people also loved by God. So first, you yourself must know the truth of God, and the truth of God will make your love rooted. And verse 18, so that you may have power together with all the saints. to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. No one can say that I've known enough. I've tasted God's love before 20 years ago. Because God's love follows you every day. Even in tribulation, God's great love will comfort you, protect you. And so, verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So it's surpassing knowledge, but when you're together with the saints, you'll be able to grasp this. You can experience the support of this love so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So Paul prayed clearly for the church of Ephesians. Next verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It talks about submitting to the church, committing to the church and to the church authority. Chapter 5, verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. So this is referring to the church elders and the overseers of the church. So the overseers of the church refers to the pastor and the elders. So they are carrying over brethren and they are doing the admonishing work. So without admonishment, everyone just anyhow sin without restraint. So the shepherds are like parents. They will be over the brethren. And verse 13, because of their work. So their work is important. So because without their work, brethren will not be protected. So hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Respect them and live in peace with each other. So respect and peace. So this is a mutual relationship. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid. There are a lot of timid people in the church. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Some people, no matter how you urge and encourage him, they are still weak. So you just have to bear with them. Do not ask them to leave the church, but bear with this person. Maybe you need 2 or 3 or 4 years, and then slowly you see that this person came out from his weaknesses. And verse 15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. So all these words, I believe that after reading, you will not treat God like treat the church lightly. So in one word, commitment to the church is important. So just now I mentioned, modern believers' idea of church commitment is very vague. So those Christians who are not committed to the church, they will naturally have certain phenomenon. So believers who are not committed to the church, what kind of attitude they have toward the church and church living, what kind of attitude do they have? First, the moment you see such people, you can tell. Such people, so they are the consumers of the gospel. Consumers, you know, if you like something, you buy it. You don't like, you don't buy it. So, are you above or the seller is above? The consumer is always the first. So this means that one day, if you realize this church, the pastor is afraid of men. His words are very careful. And the people below will keep watching him and discerning whether I like your words. If I don't like your words, I will leave the church. So this is very much different from 1 Thessalonians. Those who are idle, you can rebuke them. Those who are weak, you can admonish them. So this current situation is opposite from what the Bible says. So consumers are like this. We have the right. So when you come to this era, this is unthinkable for the church. So one day you realize the Christian media has already surpassed Christian church because of the internet. The whole internet and social media is full of messages from all kinds of pastors. So there's a lot of messages. So Christians naturally becomes like consumer. I want to listen to whichever message. Who can stop me? So in the past, people have to use their legs to visit the church in order to hear the wrong teaching or so on. But now, just lying on the bed, they can listen to all kinds of messages, Christian messages. So from then on, pastors and overseers cannot guard the ears of believers anymore, because believers just listen to any kind of message they like, and then they can forward any message they like. And so the message can spread very fast. Even the wrong teaching can spread very fast because people just react based on their own pleasure. So who can stop them? No one can stop them. I also cannot stop them. You want to hear whichever message, you can listen. I cannot stop you. But when such things happen rampantly, then the authority of the church pulpit continues to weaken, and then it will affect the generation, the era, because false and wrong teachings are very pleasing to human ears. So if you listen to the marketing talks, if you want your pastor to be very eloquent, basically you find the wrong person. Because pastors are to preach from the Bible, but the speakers, they learn public speaking skills. Their expertise is public speaking. Our expertise should be holiness. So if you want pastors with holiness and good public speaking, it's very rare. No matter how well the pastor can speak, it's not as well as the marketing or public speakers in the world. So what your ears are inclined to, you have to ask us. Of course, God also allowed the church to become like this. And believers, when they listen to the word of the pastor, they fell asleep, and then they listen to other people, they are very excited. Because pastors nowadays are not following the example left behind by the apostle. So in the early church, no matter how busy they are, they devote, the apostles devoted themselves to prayers and the preaching of God's word. So they established 7 deacons. So they focus on prayers and shepherding brethren and speaking the word of God. But now, pastor nowadays, they don't like to do all these things. They like to be involved in the administrative work of the church and check the offering amount. And so during sermon preparation, they just copy from the internet, cut and paste. And in half an hour, they can preach the word of God. So such pastors, they reap their own fruit. So when the church believers hear such message, they will search for messages elsewhere because they are not well fed by their own pastor. So the pastors also have their own problem. The pastor did not love the word of God, did not love meditating on the word of God. They like to deal with a lot of miscellaneous things. And so if you are a pastor, you need to repent. Because if you like to deal with miscellaneous things, you shouldn't be the pastor. You should be a manager. So those people who... So preachers should center on preaching the word of God, thinking about people's life. So this is the one thing that pastors and preachers should repent. Second, you need to ask, when you are committed to a church, if you want to pass and forward a message, before you forward that message, shouldn't you consult your pastor to verify whether this message is fine or not? Some of you, you came from other churches because of other issues from other churches, you came. So you must be very above board. if for certain reasons that you cannot explain, you want to come to our church, or you find that your pastor cannot feed you spiritually, so you must introduce our church message to your pastor. So in the past, when I was in the traditional church, I recommend the message of my senior pastor, my mentor pastor in America. I recommend this message to my elder. I mean, of course, some elders, they may feel, when you recommend me this message, are you are you insulting me? You don't have to care about this, because when you recommend a message to your elders and pastors, it's a form of protecting yourself. So for me, myself, I did that. So of course, some unhappy things happened back then. But in the end, God led us out to lead this wonderful church. But no matter what's the outcome, we must have a clear conscience before God and live within godly principles. But people without the idea of church commitment, they will just become consumers of the gospel. And second, when you are consumers, the Bible tells us that actually we should respect those who are over us and admonish us. But if your ears are very... because if you anyhow listen to different messages, how can your heart be willing to allow people to be over you and admonish you? How would you be willing to tell the pastor your private life? So you just don't come to church by your own preference. You will not be accountable. You not account your updates to the church leadership. So sometimes we treat this as rituals, and we think that this is a thing of the past, then we are wrong. So not everyone took leave from me from worship service, but the moment the brethren bothers to take leave from us when they cannot make it, our heart are at ease, because we know that they are not just skipping the worship service when they don't feel like it. So now some people, they feel very irritated when people call them when they are absent from church. So if you don't want to be bothered, then you can take leave and explain why you need to take leave. For example, you need to take care of someone who is sick at home. So when the pastors know this, then they will show concern also. So this is a mutual relationship. So when we do these kind of things, we sometimes think that this is a ritual, but it's not. So some people, they find pastors and they consult pastor on their private matters. Or some people will come to a pastor and say, no, now non-believers is courting me. I'm very lonely. So how should I deal with this? So pastor or the cell group leader must immediately pray together with this person. So we will not also circulate this information, because this is a very private thing. But when you do this, you consult your pastors and leaders, this means that you are committed to the church. When you're not committed, means you just listen to any message you like and you don't listen to your own church message. So this is a spiritual problem. And slowly from this, when your ears are very selective toward the kind of messages that you listen, next, you will not be willing to be cared for and admonished. So the church is a place where we need to submit to each other. So Paul said that we need to fear the Lord and submit to each other. The Bible tells us that out of our fear for God, we need to submit to each other. So you submit to the pastors, and pastors also must know how to submit to the congregation. Although the pastor is above the congregation, but to a certain extent, I cannot act on my own will alone. If all of you think that something is not good, I'm not the Pope, and so we have to pray again, discuss again. And so that's what's meant by mutual submission. So there's someone who is over, who is watching over, overseeing over the congregation, but there is a mutually submissive relationship. So you need to respect the authority of the church. So this is the spiritual principle. And those who abide by this are blessed. And those who refuse to do this, why? Because they are not committed to the church. And third, here it says that do not pay wrong for wrong. So how would anyone repay wrong for wrong in the church? This is something very serious. But in fact, a lot of times we repay wrong with wrong. We gossip about people, we slander people behind their back, and they did the same thing to us. So one thing I really dislike is when we slander other brethren or co-workers behind their backs. Sometimes when you complain about certain people, I can understand. But if you slander someone, if you say that this person is very fake, everything did to show the pastor. So you need to be responsible for your word. Are you not also living before the pastor? When you want to deeply accuse people's inner being, you also need to look at your own heart. I'm not saying that no one is weak. I'm not saying that everyone is good. Every one of us are sinner. So even when pastor is weak, I will also seek the approval of men. Everyone can commit mistake. But when you slander a person, you don't look at the whole person, you destroy his character, you gossip about him, but you yourself must be responsible before God because you are repaying wrong with wrong. So you think that he has did wrong to you, he has done wrong to you, and so you also repay wrong toward him. So I share the gospel clearly. And I also have to highlight that Paul also have been repeatedly encouraged the church to be united. So if there is certain conflicts, you need to come together to confront each other, to understand each other's standpoint. So because if you keep harboring it in your heart, one day you just speak ill of the person. So the church is willing for everyone to speak the truth. Even if you face difficulties in serving, you need to voice out. Some people, they are afraid to tell the pastor. So you must not feel imbalanced that someone else talked to the pastor. So church is not the office. The church is full of the working of grace and truth. So things that we learn from the world and the society, you need to throw away. Because in the society, when your colleague makes a report on you, the boss will blame you not to protect you. But when we talk to the pastor in the church, the perspective and heart intention of the church pastor is to protect the whole church community. Protection is at the core instead of blaming each other. So when you get this clear, you realize that the working of this church is by grace in order to protect each other's life. So there's nothing we need to fear. There's nothing we cannot say. Even if you want to say that pastor preached for too long, you can also feedback this. Can you shorten the sermon? You know, then let me know where you're rushing off. So recently it's the Chinese New Year. You have to run your Chinese New Year affairs. Things can be discussed. You know, whether church cell group can be stopped or what. But do not grow bitter root within you. Do not repay wrong with wrong. And you should have love and kindness when you treat each other. So, particularly when people come to the church, why is it that we will commit all these kind of sins without kindness, bitter words, and evil thoughts? So it all started from a certain root. That is when people start to exhort themselves. I come to this church to be served, to be treated kindly. That kind of attitude. What did the Lord say? You come to serve the people. It's more blessed to give than to receive. When you want to be served and when you elevate yourself, suddenly you feel Today I come to the church. The pastor's message is not fitting to my appetite, so next week I'm not coming. So this is someone without church commitment. They will think like this. Some brethren, they don't like the way the church use their money, so they stop offering to this church. So this is your own religion. Including, I tell you, even our church, now we are full house, but even in the church, if usher asks you to sit here or there, you just follow suit as what the usher tell you. So pastor say, you know, I came so early, I want to sit this very good. I want to sit this location because I can see your face. I don't want to sit at the side where I cannot see your face. So you can discuss with the ushers to let you sit in your favorite seat. If you pursue spiritual things, it is permissible in this church. But if you exalt yourself in your own will and everyone must please you, then it's very tough. So if you are wise, the moment you hear this, you understand my point. If you are unwise, you need to hear more. And then, so I have been quoting 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So eventually, 1 Thessalonians 1 to talk about people who are churchless without the idea of a church. They don't want to be managed and over. They don't want to be under any church. So in the end, they become their own church. They visit this church today and another church another day. So without a church, how can you be accountable for your gifts? In future, what can you bring to see the Lord? You just use your gift to serve yourself. You know, you're good with cooking and you use that to serve yourself. You need to serve people around you. You need to use your gifts on people around you. If you have financial power, where do you use it on? You use this unrighteous money to gain friends on earth. You use money in exchange for eternal things. So without a church, you cannot do all these things. When you say you do good, you're doing good with who? In many church ministries, you need co-working. It's very hard for you to serve on your by yourself, on your own. And when you do good, you're doing good unto who? Unto people around you. So people who are churchless, they are not accountable. They fall short of God's grace. They didn't do any good things. And they just occupy land in vain. So do not become churchless people. So from last year to this year, we need to repent on one thing, because the church has many, many newcomers. So a lot of people ask, how can we become church members? So we always say that you just take a form from Elder Zhiming to fill up the form. So this is just very administrative, just fill up a form. So if initially that's what I told people, because in the past, our church only have 30 to 40 people, we roughly know what does it mean to be a member. So when more and more people ask me what does it mean to be our church member, so when 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 people started to ask this question, so some people, in order to become our church member, they have to inform their former church pastors so that they withdraw their former church membership, then they can join our present church. So I don't really have much concept regarding this. So last week, I had this meeting with co-workers. So I say, in this 1 or 2 years, because I'm so busy, I didn't really think too hard about this matter. Because in the past, I've been busy with missions. And then pandemic makes me busy also. But today, as I talk about this, the Holy Spirit convicted me that I cannot be so easygoing or carefree on this. When someone wants to be a member of this church, it's a very serious matter. When they want to be committed to this church, and be protected by the pulpit of this church. So through this altar of the church, you not only teach them, you must also oversee them, because you are overseer. So you need to be watchful for yourself and for the whole flock. Otherwise, this family will not become like a family. So I truly repented before God in this matter, because I have neglected this. So I just preach the gospel. Whoever wants to listen, just listen. So now I see more and more familiar faces. So last week I told the co-workers, so we need to have certain, we need to think through about membership stuff. I've prepared a few pointers, but briefly, your baptism, your Holy Communion, your participation in Sunday service, and if possible, attend a cell group. And preferably you have been with us for 6 months. Every 4 months, we have a baptism ceremony. So if you have been baptized in another church, give yourself 6 months in our church to listen to the message. And the church will also ask you, why do you choose to come to this church from your previous church? So last week, I discussed this with Elder Zeming. So we must understand some of your belief system. If you come from another church, we have to understand your belief system. I will not say that, because in the past, you get baptized by immersion. Now we are doing baptism by sprinkling and we will not accept you. I will not say that. So we will look more into your belief about the Trinity God and so on. Of course, if you are a member, you have to give offering. Of course, this is not really directly related to church membership, but it's your accountability before God. But if you are a member of the church, by right, you should give offering to this church also. So in the past, when one will give offering for Christian organization, for orphanage, I give my tithes to the church first, then anything extra, then I donate, I offer to the Christian organization. So online, people approach me and say that, Pastor, I want to offer my tithes to you. So I ask them, which church you belong to? So I said that you should give your tithes to the church who oversees you and admonish you. So if you give your tithes to my church, how can I answer to God? So you must give your tithes to your own church. Then anything extra you want to give, then you can give to our church. But some online viewers tell me that, Pastor, we do not have any other church. We just watch your video and worship God from your videos. So from there, then I will accept their tithes if that's the case. So I will talk more about this in future. But I told Elder Zeming, perhaps that from this year onwards, every 6 months, we should have a more formal welcome party. So every time when you become church member, so maybe in half a year, about 10 of the 10 people, 10 new members, then pastor and elders can meet with you. Some people, you want to apply to be member on your own. Some people, they have been in our church for 4 or 5 years, they have never been a member, because they think that, Pastor, you are so easygoing. If I want to be your church member, I still have to go and approach my previous church and say that I want to withdraw my membership. So I say this cannot be the case, because if you have been with us for 4 to 5 years, but yet you are not formally committed to our church, that cannot be the case going forward. So I need to emphasize this a bit more in future. So some people say, I've been to this church for so long and the pastor has not been looking at me even once. So I'm sorry that this is my negligence. So if I don't have that kind of welcome meeting, I will not know your life. So this is what I put in my heart. So now time is running out. I want to explain to you 5 things why we must be committed to church, especially a local church. First, because you want to submit to the Word of God. Who is the Bible written for? It's written for the churches. If you do not want to commit to a church, then you might as well not read the Bible. At the beginning of the book of Revelation, 7 churches was mentioned, and Paul's epistles were all written for the church. So if you are someone who wants to submit, so if you want to obey God, you will be willing to commit to the and submit to the authority of the church. So the Bible tells us that when you do good, you love men, you first love your eternal brethren. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, you have the love of the brethren, and then you love everyone. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 also tells us that when there are opportunities, you must do good to others, especially do good to the family of believers. So we cannot be churchless, because if you want to do good, you have to do good unto the people of God. So someone who wants to obey God will want to commit to a church. But I also cannot force you with a knife. But this is a demand from love. So during preaching, I may sound a bit more rebuking, but off stage, I will be more encouraging and comforting. Second, why must you be committed to a church? Because you believe in the communion of saints. Without church living, then submission is just a concept to you. There are so many words in the Bible, and we always hear the word each other. You know, you must love each other, forgive each other, encourage each other, comfort each other, mutually edify each other. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 tells us that we need to care for each other, spur each other on with love, to motivate each other to do good. So in order for you to love and do good, you need to be inspired and be spurred. So sometimes when you co-work with someone, you get very irritated, but someone else will encourage you. No, don't be like that. The other brethren also has his own perspective. So the third brethren will inspire you to love and help you to see things from the other brethren's perspective. So sometimes the brethren will offer you the perspective, you know, that our church needs such people to serve. And so if you have any opinion toward the AV or toward the ushering, if you have wisdom, you can be involved also yourself. So if you believe in communion of saints, you will be committed to the church. And another thing important is 1 Peter chapter 4. He says that the end of all things is near, and therefore, what is most important is that you love each other earnestly, because love can cover a multitude of sins. So, in the past, when I read this, I find it strange that why when we mention about loving each other, we talk about the end of all things. Now, if you truly believe that the Lord is coming soon, you will most desire to spend time with people who will be with you forever in the eternal home. You will not keep wanting to be with worldly people. So in the modern churches, there's a lot of people who keep talking about eschatology, about the end days, you know, the blood moon, the earthquakes, and they keep saying that the Lord is coming soon, and then you come and yet you stay at home. You keep saying that the Lord is coming, and you're very curious about how the end times will be. But those who truly believe that the Lord is coming soon, he will all the more want to hang out with brethren. So during COVID, the 2 months circuit breaker at home, I really want to see all of you. I really want to ask you to secretly come to our house. Do not be afraid. Because 2 months I didn't see you, you don't know how the world is going to end. So the more it is in a crisis, the more we are nearing the end of all things, you all the more should gather and pray together. Such are those believers who truly believe that the end is coming soon. So you must not just hear their teaching, you must see their actions. Then you know what they truly believe in. God's word is like a mirror. It can reflect what is real in human hearts. Whatever you say from your mouth cannot reveal your heart. So I use God's word to tell us that when we believe in God's word, what will our actions be? So third, why should we be committed to a local church? Because we are willing to live under authority. Now, the word authority is not so pleasing to the ear in this modern generation. So, of course, in the Roman times, during the Roman Catholic, the Pope, with the authority, oppressed believers. So later on, Martin Luther, he emphasized the term pastor, because last time they were father, they were called Pope. So, but Martin Luther, they used the word pastor because you're supposed to shepherd sheep. So some people, they are allergic to the term Pope, papal authority, because they think that even the Pope is a human and human can oppress other humans. So the church must have certain safeguards. So among co-workers, the pastor do not just have sole authority. So co-workers, they can decide on certain things. I can have my own opinion, but I have to submit to what God has ordained through the 6 or 7 of you. And some feedback from brethren, we have to bring before God to pray. Some people feedback on the cell group, on this and that. We have to think through. But if we, after prayer, still feel that we cannot go according to the opinions of the brethren, we will relay it back to the brethren. But this authority system is very clear. There must be this authority system because Thessalonians tell us to honor those who work hard among you. So Paul also said that you must explain all these things clearly, and with all kinds of teaching, you need to teach others, and you need to teach with authority, rebuke with authority. And that's what Paul told Titus. So if the servant of God is without authority, the whole church is finished. When you teach your children, if your children do not listen to the father or to the mother, then what happened to this family? The father can be a little bit stern, and no matter what, the child will listen. But do not just be stern. You must also have love and grace. So as a pastor, we need to have a balance between love and mercy. And so no one is fully perfect, but we are all accountable before God. Sometimes we may find ourselves too narrow. We ask for God's help to open our ears and eyes to understand alternative perspective. So those who are overseers and leaders in the church must always be in contact with brethren. So in the church, if you are the decision maker, but you are not in contact with brethren, you do not know their updates and difficulties, you just think on your own regarding the church matters, you will surely make the wrong decision. So why is it that pastors, after service, pastor will stay till 5, 6, 7 o'clock, then understand most people, then I can have the authority spiritually to teach and to make decisions. So if you do not know, but you only have authority, you cannot convince people. So to the brethren, you are committed to the church because you believe that God is using this authority to protect you. So please respect this authority. If you are not willing to listen, you can discuss with me. And fourth, you are committed to a church because you are willing to make open your identity as a Christian. If you are proud of your identity as a Christian, and you are committed to a church, you will surely come to church on Sunday. Maybe in the middle of the week, you have certain cell group and you serve in certain areas also. So when you go to the office, your colleagues may ask you, can we have dinner on Thursday? You say, sorry, I have cell group. And then Sunday, I have church. Then your colleagues will start to know that you are a godly believer. So such a person, indirectly, he's revealing his identity as a Christian. If we can go out anytime on Saturday, Sunday, some people will be surprised that you are Christian. I never see you pray before meals or going to church. So when you are committed to the church and you set aside the time, and that time belongs to God, this is a testimony to the non-believers, and it also reveals your identity. And if in future, when you want to evangelize and invite people to gospel rally, then it's reasonable. So one day, otherwise one day, if you want to invite people to church, people will be surprised that you are Christian. And finally, if you are committed to a church, it means you're not just telling non-believers that you are a Christian, but you're also telling all the churches, what kind of truth and doctrine are you receiving? If you tell people that you belong to the Life Church and Missions, they will go and search online. Other than they knowing that we are the first church in Singapore to be infected as a COVID cluster, slowly they will start to know what kind of church we are, because we have been circulating our messages online. So if you have not been with us for long, if people ask you what denomination you belong to, so I told my co-workers, if we merely just say that we are in the independent church, then it doesn't sound so right. So because independent church, we are on our own. We are not accountable. We sound like we are not accountable to anyone. But in fact, we are not just independent church, but we are a reformed independent church. In fact, all along, we have been influenced by Reformed teaching. But Reformed teaching is rooted, and this extended to apostles from St. Augustine to Martin Luther. So when people hear this, they know that we are founded on Reformed foundation. And so from the beginning, our church always say Emmanuel. And that means when we present our life, in terms of doctrine, that is right or wrong, we are based on Reformed teachings. But when you live out to show others, what is it? We are showing a life that God is with us, Emmanuel. So in other words, we are a Reformed Emmanuel Church. So people have to ask you, what is Emmanuel? What is Reformed? Then you have to spend some time to explain to them all this terminology. So we just call ourselves the Life Church and Missions. But within it, we are founded on Reformed teaching, and our life, we aspire to be a life of Emmanuel, where we show that God is with us. So Pastor Stephen Tong in Indonesia, his church is Reformed evangelical church. So his church in Indonesia, Pastor Stephen Tong, his church is called Reformed Evangelical or Evangelistic Church. So Reformed and evangelism must be together. So for us, we are founded on Reformed teachings and doctrines, and then we unite this, integrate this with our life of Emmanuel, where God is with us. So, but a generic name where people can understand is the Life Church. So when you explain all these things clearly, then you can be a part of the universal church, and you can be a true blue Christian. Some church, they're very sneaky. We're not sure what they believe in, because today they talk a little bit about grace, tomorrow they talk about another thing. Then, so we are not sure what exactly they believe in. So in one word, they just want to bring people in. So that is pragmatic church. They just package a lot of things. They quote one verse here and there, but their system is very messy. Usually heresies, they are like this. Or people who preach the wrong teaching, they are like this. Or the pastors himself don't have much core belief. He just want to bring people in. So these are sneaky churches. They are not above board. If you are above board, people have doubts, they can question. If there's any problem, you go back to the scripture. Of course, certain things, you have your own views, and I may have my own views, but we are just all above board. May God bless all of us. I've finished this. The five messages, you can listen to them again. So we need to restore sound doctrine, and we need to be committed to church. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us an important summary, that we know that we are living before you, and we are living in the community that God has determined for us. Because Lord, you are above all, in all, and through all. I pray that every one of us, we hear your word from today onwards. We know what is true submission. May the Lord help us. If your servant cannot explain thoroughly, may your Holy Spirit continue to touch each and every one. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.